Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Hello, everyone, and welcome back again to another edition of Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and welcome to the show. And hello, ladies. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, it's been a minute, huh?
I mean, yeah, we had a couple weeks off.
We did.
We took a little break, and I'm happy to report that I am recovering nicely from my gangrene. Thank you for asking.
From your what?
Hold on a second. Now, I am going to assume, and Carol, you'll probably agree with me, that Jonna's version of gangrene,
it probably doesn't look anything
more than just a little dot of mold or something on the end of a finger. But Jonna, please feel free to tell us how you almost lost a limb.
I'm going to guess it was a pimple.
I am not completely out of the woods yet, so you'll feel awfully bad. You'll feel awfully bad when they're sawing off my leg from the knee down on account of the fall I took.
Go ahead. Sympathy. I'm changing course. Go ahead. Empathy. Sympathy. Jonna. Gangrene. Go.
Sympathy. I like that. Okay. So we haven't been here in a couple weeks. And over Valentine's weekend, I was in the city at my apartment. And as you'll recall, it's been a very snowy, disgusting winter thus far. And I was out on my snow-covered terrace kind of trying to straighten things up. And as I was walking back into the apartment, slipped on the ice and gave myself a nice little shiner right on my left shin. Like, I went down like Frasier. I mean, I was rolling around on the ground screaming like you just ran me over with a truck. Like, right? Have you guys ever, like, you imagine getting something like a big bang right on your shin bone? There is no fat there. You know?
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
So let's talk about the important thing here. Let's talk about your pride. Did anybody witness this?
So luckily, the fall happened mostly inside the apartment. So nobody saw me do it. I happened to be wearing shorts. So I had no covering on my leg whatsoever. And I came down on the glass, on the metal, big metal door frame and caught it just right and got this nice big gash in my leg from doing that. Now, aside from it hurting, like a pain I have not felt before, it's now been a couple of weeks and it's a little scabby, but it was touch and go there. I really thought that that gangrene was definitely setting in and that bad things were going to happen. But I actually think I am finally on the mend. Thank you, Neosporin. Thank you, cortisone cream. You're a lifesaver.
And I'm going to assume that it was your parents and all your friends and family that were worried about you that said touch and go.
Well, you know, it was so bad that I almost didn't want to tell anyone. But fortunately, I did manage to tell my mother because she's the only person in my life I know who actually has Band-Aids. And I used one for the first time in 32 years. This was terrible. It's just ugly, you guys. I have a nasty scab right on the shin. Like, it wasn't a little bit to the left. It wasn't a little bit to the right. It was right on that freaking bone.
And here's
that's the hard place to heal.
Well, yes. Here's the beautiful thing. Had you not been living in a pantry, you wouldn't have been able to just casually, with an arm's length, reach for some Band-Aids and Neosporin or whatever you needed because you were in the pantry living.
Right. You know, so there's a bonus. There's a bonus because I've been officially in the pantry for, I think, 3 weeks now. You know, I moved up from the basement. You know, most people are like, they move up in the world. I kind of moved out. Basement, pantry. Yeah, I know. But the good news is, if you are hearing this show today, which would be Sunday, that you would be hearing this show, There is an excellent chance that I am waking up for the first time in 5 months back in my old house for the first time. Yeah, because awesome. the plan is re-move-in day is Saturday. That's the plan.
Nice.
Re-move-in day. Yeah, I know.
Well, I did see some pictures that you posted on Facebook of you getting a chance to look out over the Hudson again, that wonderful view you have from the back of your house, from that back patio.
I got to tell you guys something. I guess I forgot, because last winter wasn't as bad as this winter in terms of snow. I think two winters ago was pretty bad, but last winter really wasn't. And as much as I don't like snow and I don't like ice, I am not a winter person. When the Hudson gets, it's just such a beautiful body of water to me that even when it's fraught with icebergs, it's really covered in ice right now and they float up and down. It's just beautiful. Like, that's the one part of winter that I can stand. And so I've been at the house a couple times, you know, getting deliveries and stuff. So I was able to see that. And that was a nice thing. Plus, it sounds so cool when you just be quiet and you can hear the icebergs, as I call them, bumping into each other. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's really neat. So fortunately, I still have all my limbs, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have been able to enjoy that quite as much.
Oh, you would know? Have. Somebody would have taken you and pushed you out onto the back patio in your wheelchair. You would have been fine.
But it's just so, I know, I'm staring at my war wound right now. How's everybody else been for the last couple of weeks? Everything good? Do you feel like we're emerging into a new season? Is everybody happy about that?
Well, I've got 6-pack abs now from all the shoveling I've done. So that's
good. Good, good, good.
Yeah. And
well,
Carol,
see,
and
where I live in Beacon, myself, our house, and two of our neighbors each have road frontage on 52. There's 800 feet of sidewalk that needs to be shoveled. We're responsible for that. And our neighbor always does all the plowing. So I do what I can to get out there and give him a hand with the sidewalk. So there were multiple times yours truly shoveled 800 feet of sidewalk.
Oh my.
Nice. Wow. So
and that's 800 feet of sidewalk where a plow comes through, right? And throws all the heavy stuff over. But it's not a complaint. It's honestly just because I chose to go out there. But it worked a good number on my abs. That's for
I was
sure.
just going
to
say, your abs probably look pretty good right now.
Yep.
Well, you should have called me, Carol, because thanks to where I've been living for the last 5 months, I've become intimately familiar with all of the latest products on QVC. And they have a little thing called the Snow Joe. Have you seen it?
No, but you've mentioned it before, but
yes,
I can't imagine
battery-operated
snow blower is going to do the trick on Route 52. But carry on.
Carol, you know what?
Yes.
I'm gonna put that little baby in my trunk, and I'm gonna sit at your house, and I'm gonna wait for snow, and then I'm gonna show you what you've been missing. Oh my God! I never thought. You know, you guys think I'm like an assy non-TV person, and I make fun of myself. And you know me long enough where you know I buy all of that stuff. I figured out where I get that from. It's genetic, and my mother gave me the gene. Oh my God. Ridiculous. But I feel like
your UPS driver's shows up on a regular basis at your mom's
there? Oh my God. Oh man, first name basis. He's getting leftovers. You know, he comes and drops stuff on the front porch. She's got a little bag of food for him. It's disgusting. Honestly.
Well, I have to say the winter on the hill has been interesting, because I've told you guys before that I live at the top of a very, very tall hill. So once it starts snowing and I'm at work, it's like, all right, immediately I know that I'm not getting up the front driveway. So there is a little bit of a back driveway. And the other day, the last snow we had, I was trying to make my way up the back driveway, and I'm moving at a snail's pace. I mean, I'm going, you know, like literally an inch a minute. And as I make my way around one small turn, I get to the fence. And this is the fencing of the big field where the cows hang out. So as I'm cursing at the car and I'm trying to move and I'm doing the little back and forth thing and I'm going that inch a minute, all of a sudden I look to my right and I have an audience of five faces just sitting there going...
Is that cow chewing?
Yep,
that was cow chewing.
Yes, they're all five of them came and decided to stand up against the fence and just look at the stupid human.
That was their entertainment.
Oh, it was. I was the best movie that cows have seen all winter.
That reminds me of the best Far Side. Remember the Far Side cartoon? Actually, I don't know if they're still doing it.
Gary Larson, yeah.
That I ever saw was a bunch of humans like you wandering aimlessly in a field behind a fence, and a car full of cows pulls up, and they're all yelling out the window, yakety yak, yak, yak.
Oh, man. That is hilarious. Well, do you guys are you starting to feel a little bit that this pandemic is lifting at all? Are you guys getting any of that?
Look, I'm not, you know, there's still the variants that are out there. I haven't read anything recently about how the variants have been conquered. And, you know, we're still talking about issues of the vaccine being available to everyone, you know, and, you know, not have stories from Florida about two young women dressing up as old ladies to try to get the vaccine for themselves. And
Did that happen?
Yeah, that did happen. So, I mean, stuff like this is still happening, you know, and then, you know, you get the CDC and Fauci mentioning that we might be wearing masks all the way to 2022. So not necessarily, but you do hear good things about the effectiveness of the vaccine right now. And, you know, the most recent headline I read is that was it Johnson & Johnson? Maybe they came out with a one-shot vaccine that apparently the FDA is looking into it right now to see what, you know, the efficacy of that is. So, yeah, I mean, there are some positives. We feel like we're heading into spring, which is always a mental positive. So
that's true.
Maybe that's helping. And hey, I'm double masking right now, you know, for the few times I go into a store just in case. But I'm still being careful.
Well, Johnny, you went out to dinner in New York City, so that must have been a nice little bit of return to normal for you.
It was and it wasn't. I love going out to dinner, and I loved New York City. It's a different New York City right now. But, it was a nice little step in the right direction. It doesn't feel like it's normal by any stretch of the imagination for just obvious reasons, like menus. Even though you're indoor dining, the menus are limited, which I get. Restaurants can't be full bore because they're only allowed to have 25% capacity. So they're limiting the food that they need to buy. And also you're told that you're on the clock the second you walk in, which is not something that was, you know, a pre-pandemic thing. And so that part's not any good. And then I was personally offended the other day. I had to go to the hospital, not for me, not for my gangrene. I know what you're thinking. I had to go to the hospital with an aunt of mine who recently moved here, and she had to go to the doctor. And so I was with accompanying her, which I was allowed to do, thankfully, because sometimes you can't. And I walked in wearing my very, very, very fancy purple sequined, beautiful mask, as far as masks go. And the person who was checking us in looked at me and said, they handed me a cloth mask and said, yeah, you're going to need this. And so I said to her, wait a minute, this is a mask. And she's like, yeah, no, you're going to need this. I had to forego my fashionable mask and put on one of those, you know, blue paper type masks, because apparently not all masks are created equal. Didn't know
The horror.
I know. And did you tell her how much work and effort you put into bedazzling your mask?
I did not, but she could tell by the look in my eye that I was not happy. That, you know, when I walk into a hospital waiting room and you make me put on a real mask, you know, nobody puts baby in the corner. That's what I'm saying.
I'm surprised. That's the first I've heard of that a certain type of mask wasn't good enough.
Yeah, no, I only encountered that. I've been to a few doctor visits with her. I've only encountered it at the doctor visits. I guess. For obvious reasons, but I mean, you know, come on. So that was that. But I do feel I'm looking really forward to spring, not just because I'm going to get back in my house, but I just want to feel some heat and get some sunshine. I feel like the last couple of weeks has been very gray winterish.
Well, yeah, February was definitely a very busy winter month. That's for sure.
Yeah, I just want to be able to open windows. It's all I want. I want to be able to look at the girls and say, "Here you go, girls. Open windows. Go get a breeze."
So does Jonna.
Yeah.
Well, that's because she's in a wheelchair right now. So Jonna just wants to be wheeled up to an open window so she can also get a breeze like my cats.
For the girls.
Guys, you're making fun of me when literally I go to sleep. The last thing I see before I fall into unconsciousness at night is a couple of boxes of rigatoni. Few bags of potato chips. I am literally, I know you think I'm kidding, I am literally sleeping in a pantry.
And what's wrong with that? All you got to do is stretch out your left or your right arm and you can grab food.
Yeah,
you don't even have to move from the bed for a snack.
Unprepared food. It's so, oh God. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be in the rear view soon enough. But since we are heading into spring and since we are coming out of winter and since I think we're slowly coming out of this pandemic, a lot of us are looking to improve, right? People are complaining that they've put on the COVID-15 and people are complaining that, you know, we're running out of dough because we're not working in the same capacity and all these parents have got to stay home and the homeschooling and all that stuff. We really want to help ourselves, don't you think?
I 100% agree, but I'm always sure. There. I'm always looking to be better. But right? I think the spring is a good time for that. Like you think spring cleaning, you think mental, emotional cleaning, new beginnings. You know, you have New Year's for sure, but spring is also entering into a new feeling. So sure.
So one might say that, you know, as we emerge into spring, we might be interested in doing a little self help now. You and I, mostly Frankenberry, we've got to leave you out of this part of the conversation because we know that you are not a self-help junkie. Carol and I historically have been self-help junkies. Well, guess what? You can actually be addicted to self-help, and that isn't necessarily a good thing. How do we know? Because our guest coming up after the break has written a book entitled Break Your Self-Help Addiction, The 5 Keys to Total Personal Freedom. And I cannot wait for us to talk to him because I feel like a lot of people are just itching to be a new and improved version of themselves. And just maybe we are going to be going about it all wrong until we have a nice discussion with Brian Ridgway coming up after this break.
Interesting.
All right. Interesting indeed. So that is what we have on the way here. You're listening to Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry. We will be back with our guest in just a few. So please stick with us.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And it is time now to get to our guest. And we're going to talk today about the possibility of folks out there that might be addicted to self-help. Now, Jonna mentioned this earlier, that she and Carol are more on the addictive side than I am. But we're going to talk right now to a guy who might give you a good idea on how to possibly break that addiction.
Well, this is going to be a fascinating talk because, as you mentioned, Frankenberry, Carol and I are self-proclaimed self-help junkies, and we're going to be talking coming up with Brian Ridgway. Now, Brian is known to his clients as the spellbreaker. People who have experienced Brian's work have referred to him as a shaman, a spiritual teacher, and a healer. Who couldn't use all of that right about now? Brian's also a speaker and a number one international best-selling author. He helps people, mostly entrepreneurs and change makers, Carol and I can relate, to step into the conscious creation of the body, health, business, wealth, relationships, life, and world of their dreams. Now, who wouldn't want to know how to do that, especially as we are coming out of this god-awful pandemic and into a new season? So, on the line with us, we have Brian Ridgway. We're going to be talking all about his latest book, which is called Break Your Self-Help Addiction, The 5 Keys to Total Personal Freedom. not to make everybody jealous, but he sounds very much awake, even though he's coming to us live from Hawaii. Brian, welcome to the show.
Good morning and aloha. I'm happy to be on with you.
Aloha. So listen, I want to talk all about your book, because there are a lot of us out there, and you included, who spend a lot of time and money on self-help, typical self-help, and putting air quotes around self-help, programs and books and courses, and some of it is good. I've consumed plenty of that over my lifetime. So has Carol. But you have a little bit of a different take on the whole self-help concept. And I think it's important for our listeners to know kind of how you got to become the quote spellbreaker, because it was a journey for you. Can you share some of your background and how you got to be where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. And to put it in the shortest possible frame that'll cover the basics, you know, I was born into a really unhappy family. My dad was a very, very angry man. My mother, most people would call her negative. Her philosophy in life was one step forward and two steps back. And so this angry man and this very unhappy woman created a really unhappy house, and that's where I was born. And so I came up with low self-esteem, to put it mildly, and I was convinced that life sucks and then you die. And I saw nothing but evidence of that. And then I escaped around 17. I left home and I went out, and the self-esteem and the self-image that I had created during those years in that unhappy home and all the things I had learned about myself and life and relationships from these wonderful people, those things I learned were, I didn't know it at the time, spells. They were untruths. They're not the universal reality of life, but they were what got programmed into me. And that also included everything from the educational system and the medical system and all the pre-established systems. And I went out and I lived a life that perfectly reflected everything that I thought, that I believed, that I knew. And a lot of it was tangled up with those painful emotions that I didn't know how to handle. Well, early I found out about religion. I tried just about every religion that came down the pike, and I was suffering so deeply that these were not luxuries to me. It wasn't, oh, I'm mildly interested. It was like, oh, this says it's going to make my life better. And then I stumbled into self-help at 18. And I ended up spending over 30 years on the self-help train. I understand why they call them self-help junkies, because I was one. Every program, every course, every book, every seminar, every DVD, every set that claimed it had the solution, the real complete solution. And none of them did. Certainly they all had value, but I joke that I became the world's most miserable positive thinker, because I 30 years of self-help. I spent over $300,000 over those 30 years, tens of thousands of hours. It was not a luxury pursuit. It was life or death. And I ended up being suicidal and desperate, absolutely hopeless. And when I reached the lowest point, I had a what can only be called an awakening experience. And the ideas of quantum physics, like we've all heard, everything is energy, all is one, and all of this. Well, those were fascinating ideas for me. But in one moment, January 3rd, 2011, I woke up and that became reality. Like I looked at my hand and it wasn't physical. It was actually energy. And I've been living in that state for the last 10 years. I immediately started helping people, and here we are talking about it 10 years later.
Well, okay, Brian, this is Carol. So, and you are one of the few teachers who has benefited from that. I don't know if organic is the right word, but you get the enlightenment. It just happened. Byron Katie is another one. I'm sure you're familiar with her. Yep. That happened to. So amazing. Awesome. We would all love that, for that to happen to us. And I guess this is probably what you're going to share with us. Your personal experience of it happening to you allowed you to help people like us repeat that, but it's not going to happen to us. How do we go out and get that?
Beautiful question. I know we have limited time. I got to slip in a separate thread here, because around 3 years of age, I discovered that I had an ability that everyone around me didn't have. So there's, along with that kind of darker side that I just shared of my childhood, I also noticed at a very early age that I could look at someone for a few seconds and listen to them, and I could see, it was literally as if I could see through them. I could see their pain. I could see how they were holding themselves back. And despite my microscopic vocabulary at three, I was able to actually tell people things about themselves. And my parents, not having any religious or spiritual background, they weren't sure if I was either I was an angel or I was perhaps possessed by a demon. But so, how is this kid able to know this stuff? And so I actually had I can only call it a gift. It looked like a curse to me for most of my life. But I had this ability to see through people from a very early age. And I see now that the awakening path of incredible suffering that I had for decades was to put me in a state of unconditional love and total compassion and really understanding of being homeless and suicidal and desperate, unable to make a relationship work, so that when I woke up and that gift that I came into life with would really be balanced and complete. So that's really the other side of it. And one thing I want to slip in just before the next question, I want to say that I am really glad to tell you that nobody has to hit rock bottom and break in pieces and virtually die before they wake up, because I've been helping a lot of people do it over the last 10 years without them having to hit that rock bottom.
Well, that's good news. And that was going to be my next question. So a couple things I wanted us to touch on in the limited time that we have. So just for people who are tuning in, when you say or call yourself a spell breaker, or you call the things that kind of made us who we are as children or happened to us when we were children, spells, can you describe that in terms that isn't going to scare? You know, some people think of spells like, oh, hocus pocus, but it's not that, right?
Right. Yeah. And in fact, I had a client that that I was working with 5 or 6 years ago. It was actually right before my book came out. And I worked with her for about 20 minutes. She had been in self-help for 30 or 40 years. And I worked with her for about 15, 20 minutes. And she opened her eyes and she said, "What did you just do to me? Like, wow. I literally feel like I have been under a spell my entire life. It's like you're some kind of crazy spellbreaker." And the name just stuck. So it's kind of a joke and not. But so here's the reality of it. I am proposing that every single one of us is under thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of spells. And a spell, so again, this idea we're all one, I'm going as quickly as I can to still fully treat the question with love here. We have been told and shown, and most of us have an inkling that we are perfect, eternal, infinite, unlimited energy in a universe of energy in a state of infinite possibilities, then why in the hell does everything suck so bad? Why is everything so frustrating? And why is self-help a multi-billion dollar industry with people buying one thing after another? Why is the suicide rate like it is? And the fact is, we took on mental, emotional ideas, beliefs, programs, identities, and paradigms, and those are all spells. And we're wandering around behaving as the thing we have come to believe we are, rather than the infinite, unlimited being we are. I can kind of close that by saying Maxwell Maltz, who wrote Psycho-Cybernetics. This quote really affected me when I read it in my 20s. He said, "It's impossible for a human being to consistently behave in a manner that's inconsistent with our self-image. It's impossible for a human being to consistently behave in a manner that's inconsistent with our self-image." In other words, you don't go through life, in you, perfect, amazing, infinite being that you are, you don't go through life as what you are. You go through your life behaving, acting, and reacting as what you have unconsciously been programmed to believe you are. And so by breaking those spells, they fall apart and the real you just rises into presence and into the miraculous life that you're here for.
That's a mouthful and makes 100% sense.
It does make 100% sense, but I feel like I need to dive into it a little bit more. And again, just for people who are not as, I don't want to say Carol and I are experts in self-help, we're not, but we're students. We've been longtime students of it. Mm-hmm. What is the difference then between what somebody who studies under you would learn how to do versus if you're studying under a Tony Robbins or Brene Brown or, you know, name any one of the millions out there? Like, what is that one thing that makes you different?
You know, I really love the question. I get asked it a lot, and I like to be really clear that in no way am I putting down. I mean, we're all one. I don't put anybody down. I don't compare. I will simply say this. When, as an infinite unlimited being with infinite possibilities, it could be possible that some of us could choose to live in a world with partial self-help solutions so that we could suffer until we're ready to wake up. And the difference that I've seen so far between me and 99.9% of the stuff out there is most of those people and solutions help you solve problems. Mm-hmm. I help you dissolve the illusion that there are problems. I start with the fact that you are infinite, unlimited perfection. When I look at you, I only see infinite, unlimited perfection. I don't believe any of your story. I don't believe you've ever made a mistake. I don't believe there's anything wrong with you. And that is emanating from me through every word I say, every action I take. And it, I guess you could say it non-physically conveys and supports the work that I'm doing with the people that I work with, whether they're reading my book or working one-on-one with me.
So do they, like, for example, Brian, if let's say I was working with you, right? I walk into your, I fly to Hawaii, I grab my coconut drink happily. I go traipsing into your office. I sit down on your couch and I say, fix me. And you say, you ain't broken?
Yeah, that's where it starts. I say there's absolutely nothing to fix. And you just landed on one of the keys, because check this out. Self-improvement starts with the fundamental presumption that you can be improved, which denies that you are perfect and sets you as an infinite being of energy. It sets you on a path of improving, which gives you an endless perception that there's something broken to be improved. That's not the premise I start from.
So I get that, but Brian, how do, and we know that the power of our subconscious in directing our actions and thoughts, and I've read Maxwell Maltz's book, Psycho Cybernetics. I'm familiar with that, and that exact line I remember. So, and I believe everything you're saying. How do we then transform our self-image? How do we then drop the illusions and get rid of the spells that are preventing us from seeing our true infinite perfection?
Beautiful. With the moments and seconds that are left here, I'm very conscious of that. To put in the fewest words, it begins with becoming present. So Eckhart Tolle, I am in absolute harmony. I consider him one of the very few fully authentic awakened teachers on the planet today. His whole thing is presence. The difference, if there is one, between Eckhart and I is he's talking about it. I am helping people go into the direct experience of it. And so it begins with the breath. The vast majority of us are severely under-oxygenated, and this has so many repercussions that are starting with the fact that our brain, we're in our lizard brain, reacting and misperceiving far more than we're accurately perceiving. So I start people with a process of breathing that actually brings you fully back in your body in a state of calm, aware presence, and instantly your perception of everything begins to change from that. And from there, you know, I aim to be able to help people in such a way that someone can get a hold of my free stuff or get my book and they never have to hire me. I don't need that. Wow. And people that want to go further, you know, I have these more advanced things, but even reading my book and watching the videos that come along with it, you're going to find things changing in your life. And I don't say that lightly. I wrote the book that I was looking for 30 years that wasn't out there.
That's perfect. And I will say this, you know, the concepts might seem a little bit heavy, but you are very easy to listen to. I went through some of your videos, and you're really just kind of, you're turning it on its head. You're turning what, you know, like you mentioned, self-help assumes that, you know, there's something that's wrong with you, but you kind of turn that around and say no. And I do think it's a very enlightening and easy way. I'm surprised that you just said people can really get the full benefit from reading the book, which again is called Break Your Self-Help Addiction, The 5 Keys to Total Personal Freedom. Now, you have a really good website. What's your website so that people can actually, they can get the book there, they can learn more about you and learn how to connect?
Yeah, thank you for that. We put this as two different things. So we've got Brian D. Ridgway for people that want to find out all the options that I have available. It's Brian with an I, D, and then Ridgway, R-I-D-G-W-A-Y. There's no E in it. Yeah, and for direct access to the book, it's actually breakyourselfhelpaddiction.com, or you can get the physical copy on Amazon.
All right, great. I don't suppose there's an audio version of your book yet, is there?
There sure is. In fact, there are five of them. I actually created the audio book with chapters, a straight read through, and then I made one with alpha waves behind it, one with delta waves, and one with Schumann resonance so that you can really soak it into your cells. If you get the book on our website, you get an invitation to get the five audio books with it.
That's very cool. Brilliant.
Yeah.
That is totally amazing. Well, I wish we could talk to you for 24 hours, but we can't. This has been a good introduction. It was great talking to you. We've been talking to Brian D. Ridgway, a.k.a. the Spellbreaker, author of the book, Break Your Self-Help Addiction, The 5 Keys, Total Personal Freedom, which you can find at that breakyourselfhelpaddiction.com and also at briandridgway.com. We really look forward to talking to you again in the future. I'm going to buy those or get those 5 audio books from you with the background waves, because that to me is something that I'm intrigued by that. Yeah.
Awesome. I'd love to hear your feedback and your experience with it.
Yeah, we will gladly tell you and we'd gladly have you back. Thanks for taking time this morning from Hawaii, Brian D. Ridgway. It's been a pleasure.
Aloha, everybody.
Yes, thank you very much, Brian. We appreciate it. And this is Happy Hour with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. And we are not done yet this morning, so we will be right back. And please, as always, stick around.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here this morning on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry. Nailed it. Boom,
shakalaka. Jonna, exactly what do you find nailing it when Carol was first and you were second?
Right.
No.
There must be a delay.
There must be. I'm actually not in the pantry today. I'm actually in the basement of my office because I'm an official basement dweller at this point. And it sounded... like we were right on.
We were not, but okay.
No, but you know what, Jonna? If it makes you feel any better, continue to think that way.
Good job.
if only we could be there in the same room with you, we'd pat you on the back, girlfriend. Way to go.
Speaking of good job, and one of the many things I miss about being in the same room with you guys when we do this show is, you know, the facial expressions that I used to get to use while the show was ongoing made my life better.
And I miss them as well.
And you should, because all my facial expressions were mostly geared at you. And they mostly happened after one of our guests would say, and I quote, "Oh, Carol, that's such a wonderful question. Oh, Carol, you're so smart. Oh, Carol, you're so intelligent."
I was thinking the same thing.
And he did it a few times. We just hung up with Brian D. Ridgway, author of Break Yourself Help Addiction. And he said that to you a few times. And I was sitting over here in my basement and I was flipping you the bird and I was sticking my tongue out at you. And nobody could see me do it.
I had no idea.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I really wasn't even thinking I was right on. He was saying everything was a beautiful question, no matter who asked it.
I don't think he said mine were.
Oh.
No, with mine, he was like, yeah, I'm glad you asked, which is code for please.
Stupid question.
Glad you asked. But what I'd like to do is change direction.
But Carol, little butterflies coming out of her butt. As on right now.
Yeah, you know, Jonna, I do have to say that was the very first thing I thought of when you said that you miss being in the same room so that you can, you know, and that your facial expressions made your life better, because my first thought was, yes, I really miss Jonna rolling her eyes whenever Carol is brilliant.
Oh, or has butterflies coming out of her butt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, me, if I saw butterflies coming out of Carol's butt, I'd have a completely different look. It would be like that way a dog looks at somebody and kind of tilts its head like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. And how do I do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day we'll all be back in the same room. But he was good. I love when people present concepts, you know, because sometimes I'll admit, as a self-help junkie, you can sometimes hit a self-help wall, right? You can feel like, I've read every single book, I've taken every single course, I've done every single thing that somebody has asked me to do to make my life better. And how come sometimes I wake up on a Tuesday and my life sucks? Like, and I know that's not, life doesn't suck. I'm being a little bit facetious, but you know what I mean. And sometimes looking at things in a totally different way, give you a different perspective, and can uplift you and bring you to a different place in self-actualization, in my humble opinion.
I'm definitely intrigued by what he has to say. I'm definitely intrigued about it.
And we always have guests, you know, who walk the walk, right? I mean, these are people who have, you know, been there, done that. They're not just teaching, they're actually living it. That's one of the things that we bring pretty much to every show. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to digging in a little bit deeper too.
Well, maybe I will be able to clear out my my bookcase in my office, because I'm sitting here right now looking at a stack of four books that I'm actively going through.
A stack of four?
Four. I have a problem. Okay.
You mean you're simultaneously reading four books?
Correctamundo. Well, I have finished, and I sent you this one. I want to try to get her on the show, The Desire Map by Danielle Laporte. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of journaling involved in that. So I kind of have that out to kind of flip back to remind myself. Rereading Ask and It Is Given. Mm. Also a book called Magic Words, which is a short little read. So I'm reading like little pieces of it at a time. And I am about a quarter of the way through Autobiography of a Yogi.
So yeah. You have what we call self-help ADD. That's what you have.
Sometimes. Yeah. So I go through these cycles where I'm like voraciously starving for information. Like I just can't get enough of it. And this is just coming off of a hiatus. There was many recent months where I was just like in percolation zone, right? Where I'm just kind of being more in the moment, not trying to do or be anything different, just being more, like you said, more present. And that it's like, I get hungry, I go through cycles. And what's interesting, I don't want to say the title right now, but I am now in the process of creating my third book. So I think it's like a natural cycle. Yeah. It's like a natural cycle for me where it's like, I kind of got to percolate. It's not really the right word. It's like incubate. That's it. Incubate.
And
then it's like, yep. And then now I am hungry and consuming and creating.
Nice.
Well, that's awesome.
And you know what, Jonna, if I introduce the two of you, it would be like, all right, I'm going to introduce you now to my friend Carol. Carol is absolutely brilliant. She can read four books at once. And here's my friend Jonna. She falls down a lot.
Oh, God. Well, that's funny, because I would have just fallen down while rolling my eyes at the statement that you just said.
That's right. Because you would have rolled your eyes while you were still walking and chewing gum, and you would have tripped and fallen down.
And I would have tripped and fallen down.
Just, I know how the fall happened. It wasn't the ice. You were recalling a prior show when I asked a really good question, and the guest was like, that's a brilliant question. And you were rolling your eyes, and you never saw that you needed to lift your foot up a little bit more to get inside your apartment, and boom.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, I'm sorry. Guys, listen close. Do you hear this? Listen. Did you hear that? Did you hear that sound?
No.
You know what that sound is? That is the sound of a butterfly emerging from Carol's sphincter. Okay. It's very soft. Did you hear it? There it is again. Oh, and again. Oh my God.
And for all you folks that are listening right now that said to themselves, man, you know what? I've gone all week without hearing the word sphincter. Thank God for happy hour. I forgot how much I missed.
Speaking of sphincter.
Well, on that note, now, you know, people are driving in their car right now and they've got a visual that I don't even want to describe.
Yeah. We'll just send them back to a visual of you rolling your eyes and tripping.
And tripping, and basically and getting gangrene.
And me with a trail of butterflies following behind me.
Oh, there's another one. Oh boy. Well, I think on that note, as we are a day away from, we're a day away from March.
Yay! Yeah. And daylight savings is only 2 weeks away now.
Oh, I didn't even.
Woo woo!
Yeah.
Hey, well, all right. Promise me one thing before we go today. I know that it might be a little bit until all the suits and all the corporate stuff, like, so we can actually be inside a studio together comfortably and safely. Okay, but we can definitely social distance at my house now that I have a lot more square footage and I still have a nice big deck. So one of these days when it gets nice, that is where we need to record this show. Okay.
Okay. I'm in.
I have spoken.
Okay. I'm in. Count
all right,
me in.
Good.
All right, sounds good.
The three of us all together.
All right,
great. But until then.
Yep. Until then, you've been listening to Happy Hour here with Jonna Roll Her Eyes Spillbore, with Carol Butterflies Out Her Butt Pesci, and with some dude named after a cereal. Everybody have yourself a fine, fine Sunday morning. Actually, not named after. I'm going to claim they named it after me. Anyway, have yourself a fine, fine Sunday morning and a great week. And we will talk to you again next week, same time here with Happy Hour. Thanks.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.